Sermons from the Journey is the audio podcast of the weekly message preached by Reverend Becca Gorell, pastor at Lebanon United Methodist Church in Lebanon, New Hampshire, and blogging at pastorbecca.com. Thanks for listening. Do you know someone in your life who has a gift for understatement? Who might say on a particularly cold day, "Wow, it's a bit chilly outside." Or who leaves the best part of the story kind of untold and you're always wondering for more. I mean, there are people that do the other thing and they tell on and on and on, like those Shaggy Dog stories. But then there are the people that overcorrect and leave out the parts that sound like they might be really important. That's our author of the Gospel of Mark for you. Just leaving out all the stuff that sounds like it might be really interesting. So Jesus was baptized, and you know, the heavens opened up, and there was this voice from the heavens that said, "You're my child, and you're beloved," and that seemed important. And then the Spirit drove Jesus out into the wilderness, and he was there for 40 days where he was tempted by Satan. But we're not going to give you any details about that. And then Jesus returned and preached the good news that the time had come to turn to God. And fortunately, Mark will give a lot of detail about that over the next several chapters of the gospel. But Mark compresses these really important, really interesting parts of the story into a very few handful of verses. None of the details are here for us. We have to read other gospel accounts. Maybe it's like the little teaser for the news, details in Matthew. We have to imagine a little bit what happens in between the lines, what happens in between the verses that we have. But what this telling lacks in detail and expressiveness, it makes up for in context. What it lacks in content, it makes up for in context. Because by bringing those pieces so tightly together, as Jim said before he read the scripture, by bringing those pieces so tightly together, we can't separate those pieces of Jesus' life back out from one another. We can't ignore that they flow into each other, like waters flowing into waters from different tributaries flowing into one river, coming together to bring the fullness of what Christ's message will be. We can't separate, in Mark's account especially, that Jesus' baptism immediately precedes the Spirit driving him into the wilderness. He's baptized and claimed by God as God's beloved. And it says immediately happens a lot in the Gospel of Mark. Immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. We can't separate those pieces. There's something about being called and claimed by God that then drives Jesus to a place of reflection, of testing, of refining that sense of his call and what he's going to do and be, refining his trust in God, really clarifying what that is. No, I will not put God to the test. That's not in Mark, that's elsewhere, because Mark leaves those details out. No, I will love God and serve God alone. Really testing and pushing into that, the Spirit driving him into a challenging place. And then, from that place in the wilderness, that Jesus returns and begins his public ministry, sharing the gospel, or the good news, of what God is going to be about in the world. We can't separate those pieces in our lives either. That knowing who we are as God's child, God's beloved, comes with tremendous comfort and blessing. I find the song that we just sang, a beautiful song, almost like a ballad by the great Mark Miller. He's a fantastic songwriter. We have sung this at really hard times, at like general conference or annual conference. If Mark's not the chosen worship leader, song leader at the moment, it doesn't matter. He like finds a piano and starts playing and people start singing along, or one person just sort of calls out, "No matter," and everybody joins in. And we're reminded that we are children of God. And I find that so grounding, so comforting, such an important reminder. And there is no one and no thing that can separate us from the love of God or from the truth that we are family, that we are children of God. So that grounds us and centers us, but it also, inconveniently, seems to always challenge us and push us out into our own wilderness. Last Lent, a year ago, we spent a lot of time looking at that wilderness, the gifts of the dark wood, that place of testing, of challenge, of losing ourselves to find ourselves. Right? A lot of times, coming right out of that sense that God loves us is the sense that we can't just sit there with that feeling, that we have to do something with it, and that challenges us. Or it drives us to reflect inward, God loves me? Really? What if I look at all of the things about myself that I don't think are so great? God loves me? I am God's child? And so we're drawn to an inner wilderness. Right, but there's something about that calling and claiming as God's beloved child that pushes us into a challenging place and a place where we have to reflect on who we are and whose we are and push into it and not sit at ease with it. And then from that place, both places, it's not just the calling and the claiming as God's beloved, and it's not just the challenge or the reflection, but it is the river that flows into another, and then another one comes our desire to proclaim the good news, comes our flowing out in service, in testimony, in witness of who we are as God's beloved and of how God has brought us through our wilderness. Right? You can't separate these pieces from one another. And you can't separate us from God's love. So as I mentioned at the beginning of the service, in the early church, Lent was a time for new initiates in the faith to prepare for Easter when, for the most part, that was like the big celebration of new members or new people being baptized and people coming into the life of the community of faith. And so Lent was a time not only of reflection and certainly not primarily of penance, but of preparation for the life of discipleship. And it begins, therefore, in many senses, with a reflection on our baptism, on that claiming as God's beloved child. So I believe each of you got a little piece of torn fabric when you came in, and if you didn't, Tom and Jody will have some more just in case. And I'm going to invite you, and we're going to kind of pass some clipboards around, because if you're not done by the end of the sermon, that's okay. The sermon isn't that much longer. Ooh, phew. But if you're not done by the end of the sermon, that's okay. I'm going to ask you to try to be done with it by the time of the offertory. I'm going to ask you to write your name on it, that you are a beloved child of God. To remember that at your baptism, even before your baptism, and some of us are baptized as children, some of us are baptized as adults, some of us are not yet baptized, and that's perfectly fine, but that God has claimed us, and we are a unique, special child of God. I'm going to ask you to write your name on using, I will say, the permanent marker on the clipboard only, please. Not on the marker on top of the fabric on top of the pew. You see what the problem would be with that, right? So please use the clipboard when it comes to you, and write your name on this piece of fabric, because we are part of this river of God's blessing and justice that rolls out into the world. And so then we will add one another, add to the waters of justice, each one of us a child of God and part of the blessing that God is pouring out, the justice that we are called to let flow like waters. We name one another in baptism. We always use the name of the person being baptized. And we invite the community. We ask whether the person is a child or an adult. We ask people of faith, will you support this person as a child of God? And we all commit to that. We all agree to that, and we do that most of the time before we know anything about the person. Maybe they are an infant, maybe they are a new person in our community or in our community of faith. And so we don't know who they are or what they will become. We don't know what they will do, who they will grow up to be. We don't know the mistakes they will make, although I can guarantee you that all of us will make some. We don't know the love or the hate that will fill that person's life. We don't know. And yet we promise to hold one another as children of God. And we name and we recognize and we affirm in baptism that God claims that person by name as a child of God. And that no matter what happens and no matter what people say, there is nothing that will separate that person, that will separate each of us from God's love and from the love of the church as the body of Christ in the world. Just about a year ago, you might remember I went on a mission trip partnership building experience to Bogota, Colombia, where I met some magnificent people. The person with the glasses went with us. That's Jonathan. He's a pastor in the New England Conference, although he's living and serving and learning in Bogota as we speak. And the person that Jonathan is hugging or standing next to in the second picture is John, who is a young man who is new-ish to the circles of faith, but already identified as a kind of leader in the church that we were visiting, or a leader in the community that we were visiting. And Jonathan, in the top picture, has presented his own personal stole to John and is giving him a hug. And this was part of a service where that church, that community, was deciding about welcoming all people, regardless of, and they had a whole list of regardless of. And we taught them this song. We taught them Child of God. Now, Jonathan is fluent in Spanish and had translated it, but it doesn't translate perfectly because there's no word for child in Spanish. There's son or there's daughter. So we flipped back and forth between hijo and hija of God. And we taught this song, and it was imperfect because the other person that was with us, Will, is a great singer, but doesn't really speak any words in Spanish. And I know some words in Spanish, but I'm not so confident leading song. So it was a tough moment. It was not beautiful. It was a learning experience, but we taught this song that you are a child of God. And then the congregation of this church, Prince of Peace Colombian Methodist Church in Bogota, didn't vote because it seemed silly to them. All affirmed that everyone was welcome in their community, regardless of gender. And that's a big thing, because women are not necessarily regarded as equal in all of the culture around them, regardless of sexual orientation. And that was a really big thing, because not everyone is welcome in the culture around them, regardless of whether or not the person was of indigenous heritage. And that was a really big thing, because there's still an incredible amount of discrimination against persons who are indigenous in Colombia. And that song was part of this affirmation that each person is a child of God. Next Sunday, John will be installed as the pastor of that church. John is also the first openly gay pastor of any mainline Protestant church in Latin America that we know of, and one of the youngest pastors. He's gone to licensing school or the equivalent, and the bishop is coming to have a formal celebration of John becoming the pastor of that church as it comes full circle. We did not know that John would be the pastor of that church in a year when we affirmed that this new young leader was a child of God. We don't know what God will do with each one of us. But what we do know is that no matter what anyone says, and no matter what happens in our lives, you are a child of God. And nothing in all creation can separate you from God's love. I invite you to turn to someone near you. And if you don't know their name, you need to learn what their name is first, because that's very important. And to call them by name, and then tell them, you are a child of God.